Please welcome Alicia Klein.
So I have a confession to share. I think fish are really creepy. Always have. I'm not gonna say I'm scared of them. I've never had a nightmare involving fish. I wouldn't run away screaming at the sight of a fish tank, but there's just something really unsettling. It's sort of like the feeling I get when I'm thinking about cockroaches or Gollum or that flying dog in Neverending Story. Creepy. I grew up in Maryland outside of Baltimore, and there's a really nice aquarium in Baltimore, and we would go several times a year to this aquarium, and it was not my favorite, obviously. For starters, there were these really long escalators from one floor to the next, and they weren't very steep, but they were really long, cutting across like the whole building and just going up one floor, and they like crisscrossed across the center of this big open space. And down below it, on the ground floor, was this giant tank full of stingrays. So I'd be like, you know, gliding along this escalator, and I'd look over the edge and just kind of imagine the whole thing cracking in half and all of us tumbling down into this tank of stingrays. And then, I get safely to the next floor, but then it's just full of fish tanks. I'm sure it was a really nice selection of fish from many different places. I would just kind of walk and glance, oh, saw it, you know, so I could tell my parents, yeah, I looked at everything, and then wait at the next escalator for everyone to catch up with me. And there were, I think there were four stories, and then you'd get up to the roof, and, it wasn't all bad. There were a few things that I liked about this aquarium. For one, in the lobby, when you first get there, there's these long columns full of water and bubbles, just like endless bubbles going up, and that was really cool. And I liked the puffin exhibit, because puffins are birds and not fish. And at the very top of the aquarium, this was my favorite part, there was this giant glass pyramid. So it's like a greenhouse, and there was this rainforest exhibit inside of it. And I really liked that, the trees and the air, and there were like little streams with fish in them, but like down where they belong on the ground, not like at eye level, staring at you with their creepy little faces. And I liked the gift shop because it was full of stuffed animals, and even fish are cute as stuffed animals. So after the rainforest, which is my nice little break in the middle, I'd say the hardest part was coming back down. You didn't come down the way you went up. There was this like long winding ramp descending all four stories. And it sounds pretty cool when I talk about it, but surrounding this ramp was a giant tank. And it's like several stories high and completely surrounding you like a racetrack, and you're in the center. And full of fish. I think it was like a reef of some kind, fish and sharks, and sometimes you'd see scuba divers, like people that worked at the aquarium cleaning things or doing research. I don't know, like this is how huge it was. And I would just like hold onto the railing and like never ran, but like walk as fast as I could, like just down and kind of like whip around the corners, leaning out from the railing and just get out of there. It was like you're like in the ocean, right? Just all sides and up and down. And I did not want to be in the ocean. This has all been, a description of how I feel about fish. To really kind of nail home the point of how surprised I was to find myself at the age of 23 as a snorkel guide. So I don't like being in the water, but I love being on the water. I love looking at the ocean. I find it very calming, and I love being in boats, mostly sailboats. I fell in love with sailing in sixth grade. We went on a field trip in Baltimore Harbor on the Lady Maryland, which was this 18th century style tall ship, like a big pirate ship, and I just loved it. It was amazing. They had a camp that they offered where you'd stay on the boat for a week, and you'd sail from New York Harbor to Baltimore Harbor. And I wasn't old enough in sixth grade. I had to wait 3.5 years, but I waited. And I went on that camp, and I learned how to sail on a pirate ship, and it was a lot of fun. And throughout high school and college, I found other ways to go sailing with people I'd met, and like take some sailing lessons in college, and I learned how to sail. And then eventually, I taught sailing at a summer camp in college, and that's where I met Tab. He was the subject of the first story that I ever told here many years ago. But that was something we had in common, was our love of sailing. And so when I graduated college, we'd been together about a year, and we planned this big adventure. We bought a sailboat, and we fixed it up so we could live on it, and we set sail. Well, actually, we set motor first. We were in Tennessee, so we motored down the Tennessee River and the Tongue-Pigby Canal down to Mobile, Alabama, Mobile Bay, and then into the Gulf of Mexico. And we sailed around for most of a year, over to New Orleans, and then back east again, basically following the whole Gulf Coast down Florida, and ended up in Key West. And when we got to Key West, we decided, let's stay here for a couple months, have some fun. We rented a mooring, which is like a floating bobbing thing in the water. It's anchored down at the bottom, but you just tie your boat up to it, and that's where we lived. And every morning, we'd get in our little dinghy and motor ashore to the island and ride our bikes over to the tourist side of the island. And we both got jobs working on boats. And I got a job on the Appledore, which was another pirate ship, slightly smaller than the Lady Maryland. I think it was about 70 feet. And we took tourists out on sunset sails. This was my dream job. I mean, we were like sailing. I was sailing a pirate ship. I was, you know, casting off lines and hoisting mainsails and climbing the rigging, and it was amazing. It was so exciting. So I show up for my first day to train, and I'm basically just shadowing this girl. We'll call her Kelly. This is not to protect her identity at all. I just honestly don't remember her name. So I'm following Kelly around, and she's showing me all the ropes, and we set off, and we, you know, prepare lunch for all the guests, and we sail for about an hour, and then we arrange the sails. There's a way you can arrange the sails on a boat so that you're basically not moving. You're not catching the wind. You're just staying in place. And we do that, and she takes out these large bags and, like, dumps them on the ground, and they're full of snorkel masks and flippers and life jackets, and she says to me, you know, listen to my speech today, and you know, follow me in the water. I'll point out a few things and show you some good spots to take people. And I'm thinking to myself, what's happening right now? And she launches into this speech for all the guests about, you know, some basic snorkeling technique and things to look for, and let's all go have fun. And she like hands me something, and I'm like, you know, I'm cool, I'm just gonna stay on the boat, I'll see you when you get back. And she's like, no, you need to, this is my last day, tomorrow this is your job. And I'm trying to play it cool, like, oh yeah, okay, I didn't realize, sure, yeah. And I like put on my gear, and I jump in, you know, literally and figuratively, and that is how I became a snorkel guide. Thanks.